Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you once again to express our worship, to glorify you for who you are, to thank you for what you have done. And Lord, we desire to give you glory today. Lord, let us hear from you. Let us hear from your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts to hear your word today. Amen. Oh, praise God. Well, my notes are shorter today. I'm afraid to promise that means I'll be shorter. but probably. I was thinking about this last night and trying to figure out how to open up. I got to thinking about how we think about our world today. And we can really only see it from our finite perspective. And it would seem from where we sit that things have gotten worse. Because indeed, in the culture in which we find ourselves, it has coarsened. It has things are not the way they used to be. And there are some who say we've gotten better. And there are others who say we've gotten worse. I think most of us would probably agree with the latter sentiment. But the truth is, we hadn't changed a bit. Sure, societies tend to go in cycles. You need only consider the history of Israel to see how that plays out. And America has been through its own cycles over the generations. And we definitely seem to be in a phase of being less religious, if I can use that word, than we once were. There are reports, though, of revivals around the country. On college campuses, some publications I read that will always highlight those. There are certainly signs that could make us hope that maybe we could turn around and come back the other way. But I'll tell you how that happens, folks. It happens with His people on their knees in prayer. And it happens with people being willing to go out then and do what it is that He tells us to do. Technology has changed things for sure. It's made some things better, seems to have made some things worse. But just like any other tools that we have at our disposal, it only allows us to be whatever we are in bigger ways. So it provides a little bit of cover, so sometimes we can maybe be a bit more of a jerk than we would be in public. But it's kind of the same thing as you might have heard said about money. You got more money, you're just going to be whatever, more of whatever you were without money. To me, the most frightening thing about artificial intelligence is that we're trying to make it like us. That's what's scary about it. And if you look at some of the interchanges that have been recorded, especially in the early days as they were just bringing it online, it was acting like us, and it wasn't pretty. The human condition, though, remains as it always has been. From the fall of Adam, we are corrupted by sin. And yet, there also remains within us, because we are created in the image of God, there also remains within us a sense of right and wrong. Most of us quickly come to an understanding that we don't always choose right. Because He has written His law upon our hearts. We'll never keep it. And so, because of that, Jesus. We're continuing our study in the book of Romans today. It didn't even cross my mind until this morning that it's Palm Sunday. Now, we might take a break on Resurrection Sunday and do something that celebrates that or talks about that. But today we're continuing on. And Paul is writing, and he has established first the power of the gospel to save. And then he details the sins of humanity, the failure of the Gentiles, and really the state of all unredeemed humanity. And then he moves on in chapter 2 to some things specifically written to the Jews of his day. But the point being, both are without excuse. Whether Jew or Gentile, you know the truth. The universality of sin and God's justice. Jesus then revealed as both judge and redeemer. And we'll see more of that as we continue on in our study. Just going to read a few verses today. We're going to start in verse 12 and just read through verse 16. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law naturally do the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they demonstrate the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness of their thoughts, alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. He has already spoken of the universal consequence of sin. He just wrote that both Jews and Gentiles alike are going to reap the results of their choices. Those who, without the law, not having had the advantage that the Jewish people had of having it all written out for them in the form of the scriptures, the Old Testament. Now, we all know the phrase, right? You've probably seen it on TV. Ignorance is no excuse for the law, right? Well, there's a truth in that. The law is the law, whether you know it or not. When you violate it, you still have to pay the consequences. If you're speeding down the highway at 100 miles an hour and an officer stops you and you say, well, I didn't see the sign, not going to get you very far, is it? We don't know the truth doesn't mean it's not true. And this is God's creation. It is subject always to His law. And the outcome of sin, He tells us, is death. But then what of those who have the law, who know the truth, who've had it, and you know, we can extend that into our day. At that time, It was strictly between Jew and Gentile because, by and large, they had not been exposed, the Gentiles would not have been exposed to God's law. But now, we've all got, probably most of us have multiple Bibles, and if we don't, We got multiple versions on our apps, on our phones. If we don't understand one, we can go look at another one. We are so blessed. Going back to that whole technology thing, that's the good side of it. There's so much at our fingertips now. Ignorance is truly no excuse, because there's no reason to be ignorant. Well, you do have to watch your sources, but that's a whole other subject. But having the law, he says they are judged by it. They know it. They know the truth. They know what it says. And if anything, then the standard is higher. I know I've always felt like that growing up in a Christian home. It's one of the struggles that I had was the recognition, you know better. The standard is higher for you. You know better. You don't have an excuse for not doing what you know. But it has to be more than just knowing. It has to be more than just hearing. All the Jews had heard the law. It was read. It was read constantly in their synagogues. The boys had to learn it as children, and be able to recite it. But just knowing it is not enough. Paul has just called out those who were judging other people for not keeping it, even though they weren't keeping it themselves. It's got to be done. If you might also remember James writing in chapter 1, verse 22, says, "Become doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Perfection is actually what's required. And yeah, none of us can get there. And so we all end up in the same place. Regardless of our background, we all wind up in the same place. Even if we're trying, if we miss the most important thing, if we miss Jesus, we all wind up in the same boat. But he says, you know, we all know better. There are some things that nobody has to tell us. Most societies, even those without the heritage that we have some baseline rules that are pretty constant overall. There are very few societies. There are some, but there are very few societies where murder is okay. There are very few societies where outright theft is okay. We have all kinds of creative ways of justifying breaking those rules and making laws that allow us to be criminals without actually doing anything illegal. But that's, again, a whole other subject. Problem is we have twisted and corrupted that which is good, that which we know to be good. But to the degree that we are naturally, to the degree that we naturally do the things that are right, it's because that's how God originally designed us. God's creation was all good. When he created Adam and Eve, he said it was good. There was nothing bad in them, but they let it in. They let it in when they decided to listen to the devil instead of listening to God. When they decided to let their own lusts and their own desires get in the way of the truth. But every one of us still, even before we come to that place where we come to know God, has a conscience. And that conscience speaks with the voice of God. And the Holy Spirit draws us even before we come. It says nobody can come unless the Father draws him. And we can ignore it. We can ignore it even to the point that we stop hearing it. no longer speaks. But then he goes on to say in verse 16, the day's going to come. The day's going to come when Jesus is going to reveal all. There's not going to be any more secrets. Not only there will be no more secrets, there will be no more excuses. Every sinner will be faced with his or her sin. But then there's good news. There's good news. Because all of those who have accepted the Lord Jesus into their lives, who have made Him Lord of their lives, they'll find their conscience clear. It says, your sins will be remembered no more. He paid for them. My dad tells a story. I don't think he would mind me repeating this. He tells a story about God showing him something one time. And he said he was looking at a piece of paper, and it had black stuff all over it. Rick was representing his sin. And then he saw blood come over, and it was all red, and the whole page was red instead of black. But then God said, no. And then the page went all white. It's not just covered up. It's gone. He took it away. Yes, we too have sinned. But He has shown us mercy. And everyone is condemned or justified based on that one thing. Is Jesus really your Lord? It's a humbling reality. Every one of us faces the same standard, regardless of where we come from, regardless of who we are. Whether we are of Jewish heritage, whether we're of Gentile heritage, Americans, Baptists, churchgoers, preacher's kids, whatever. It's irrelevant. If anything, the more we know, the higher the standard gets. And it's already out of reach. All have sinned, he's going to tell us later in the book, and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need the same salvation. But that gives us also, as we go out into the world, as we share among people who don't believe the same as we do, it gives us an opportunity. It gives us an opening. It's not without challenge. I mean, the whole idea of sin has sort of left our culture. If you see anything about it anymore, which I haven't seen this in many years, but then I'm kind of disconnected from, I don't watch TV anymore. I don't interact a whole lot with advertising just because of the way my systems work. And because everything is read to me, I don't have to read anything I don't want to read. Nothing jumps in front of my face, typically. I could be surrounded by all kind of mess, and I wouldn't even know it. So, I may not know where I speak in that sense. But it seems to me that they don't even... It used to be, if something was really good, they would advertise it as sinful. You know, and go ahead and partake of it anyway. But I don't even see that so much anymore. Because right or wrong, the ideas of right and wrong has shifted. The idea that anything could be a sin or that you could be a sinner is, there's a whole new set of sins now, and a lot of them involve calling out sin. But even with that, even in the midst of that, cultural situation, the word that's in my head, I'm afraid it's the wrong word, so I'm going to skip it. We do still have some common values. Even children know there are times when they've done wrong. At some point in life, we all have to face what we become. And hopefully we have enough awareness to realize that not everything that we become is good. There are some who have seared their consciences to the point that they don't see that anymore. And really this is true of all of us. It's not the way I say this might come out wrong, but the only hope for them truly is God doing a miracle in their life. But in saying that, I hasten to say the only hope for any of us is God doing a miracle in our life. But most of us know who we are. We know our failings. And so when we get to a point where we're ready to face that, and when we, as those who have already come to that place in our life and are now sharing it with those around us, if we can humbly and gently lead those around us to that place with the admission, first of all, look, I've been in the same place. I would be in the same place today, only Jesus. I don't want to think about where I would be without Jesus. I'm not sure I would still be here. But by the grace of God, here I am. The good news. The good news is that when we find Jesus, we get changed. Who we are becomes wrapped up in who He is. The righteousness we cannot earn, He gives it to us. And yes, there will be a day. There will be a day when the sinner will stand before Jesus condemned, and all will be known, and there will be no excuse. And in the depths of their heart, they'll know they made the wrong choice. There will be a day when the saint will stand before Jesus. And he or she, too, knows the depth of their sin. But he knows the one who forgives. And the sin is no more. So which one are you? It's not determined by your heritage. It's not determined by your church. It's not determined by the good things that you do. It's not even determined by the fact that one day you said a prayer that somebody told you to say, unless you meant it. It is determined by the one who lives within you, by the one who has your heart. Have you let him in? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you most of all for that which you gave to us on the cross. We are in embarking upon the week that where all of these things are commemorated, where we remember what it is that you did for us, how you spilled your blood on that cross willingly. When at any point you could have called down legions of angels and had done with it, we would all be lost. And you loved us enough to go through with it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Would that we would all catch the gravity of that and live like we know it. But you didn't stay dead. And it would have all been meaningless if you hadn't then risen from the dead. And I look forward to celebrating that next week. You are the one true God, the risen Savior, the Lord of all creation. And we will celebrate that, and we will look forward to the day in which we will see your face. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, for all that you are. Let us go out and shine your light this week. Amen.